Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Amen. Blessed, highly flavored. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. God is on the move. He always is. He's always trying to get us to a better place. He never quits on us, even when we quit on Him. That's the beauty of a loving Father, unconditional love. The problem is when we're in this world, we try to find love in the wrong places. We try to find it in a bottle, in a bed, in a needle, in a cigarette, in a pill. We try to find love in work. We try to find love in everything but His presence, until His presence finally touches us and we realize that everything we were looking for was Him. Him. His presence, His love, His healing, His freedom. Man, I tried every drug program there was. Went to every guru. Tried religion. Nothing worked. Wasn't until the presence of God healed me, delivered me, and freed me. I've been healed multiple times of sicknesses and diseases. My wife couldn't verify that. I'm a walking testimony as each and every one of us. And everything that you're going through, I just want you to know that all things will work to the good to those who love the Lord and called according to His purpose. And that's all God is doing, is just adding another chapter in the book of your testimony. Because the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of His testimony. Hallelujah. Again, I want to say that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the what? Word of our testimony, and we don't love our lives to death. Amen? Because we've given our life to Him. It doesn't say that we won't go through trials and tribulations, but we're to count them all joy. Well, I got to tell you, I went through a trial and tribulation. Would you turn to Psalm 91? The Bible tells us something very specific. I want to share again. The Bible says we do not fight flesh and blood. We fight powers of darkness. We fight principalities, wickedness in heavenly places, things that are unseen. But what the enemy wants you to constantly think and believe is that you're fighting the things that you are seeing, that you're fighting the drug, that you're fighting the pill, that you're fighting your spouse, that you're fighting your parents, that you're fighting your job, that you're everything natural. See, if he can keep your eyes on the natural, he can constantly bind you spiritually. Your fight and my fight is not physical. It is spiritual. And until we get that understanding, we will constantly stay deceived, blinded, bound, tormented, and used by evil. Has everybody got that? It's essential that we understand this. Stop blaming people. Stop justifying and start recognizing that your fight is spiritual. That's why the Bible says specifically, those who believe in my name, these signs will follow them. The first thing it says is they will cast out devils, demons, because demons need a host, and you are the hostess for the mostest. That's what they're looking for. So many times, addiction is a spirit. Perversion is a spirit. These are demons. Fear is a spirit. God says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. It wasn't until my visitation from the Lord where a serpent actually came out of my body and manifested in the natural realm. And the Lord said, that came from you because of your addiction. And this thing was wicked and evil and vicious. The Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ has come to bring life and life abundantly. So we've got to come out of religion. Let me tell you where religion came from. Lucifer. It's called false belief because he wanted everyone to worship him. Lucifer is who established religion. We are not religious. We are from a kingdom. We are eternal citizenships that serve under a king that's eternal, not temporary. There's a difference. And we need to learn the ways of the citizenship of the eternal realm. The word tells us that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That lack of knowledge is because of the lack of truth and understanding of the devil's ways. You know, most people don't even believe in the devil. There's a lot of people that are believers that don't even believe in the devil. They don't even think they can have a devil when they're a walking host or a hotel. Multiple floors with room service. And it's all free. But I want to tell you something, that we are not fighting each other. We are fighting powers of darkness. We are fighting fear. Fear will steal your faith. Fear causes you to rely on your own strength, prevents you from trusting God, sets limitations on your life, brings paranoia, brings superstitions, brings delusions, because it's a false belief system. And where there's a false belief system, there's a false perception of things. Only truth allows you to see correctly. And that's when something begins to happen in our life. Anger is nothing but a protector of fear. And let me tell you something. When the enemy speaks to us, and most people don't even realize the enemy's speaking to them, they just take it for granted. But God never said to murder. He sent them out to kill demonic forces, but he doesn't send people out to murder. Does everybody understand? And Psalm 91, in verse 1, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of Almighty. I will say, you are my Lord and my fortress and my refuge. You are my God, and in you I will trust." This is a prayer. Verse 3, it says, "Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the prevalence of pestilence." Verse 4, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only your eyes shall see and look and see the reward of the wicked." This secret place is God's presence. See, the enemy loves to bring false presence. Verse 9, he says, "Because you've made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you." Doesn't mean you won't be attacked, but it won't overtake you. Why? Because the presence of God is powerful, more powerful than the presence of evil. "Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." Now look at this. Everyone read 11. "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, on the young lion and the serpent you shall trample down." There's something that occurred in my life just recently. That's why I've got a stool behind me. My daughter and I were out on bicycles. I promised her that we would go for a bike ride, and I had to fulfill it. So we were out riding around. We went through a nice bike ride. And on our way home, I've been praying for an individual, and I got a phone call. I know it's not wise to be on your phone while you're riding a bike. Hallelujah. But God does forgive us, doesn't he? So in this, as we were riding, we were coming down this road. And to get to our road, I had to go up a hill. So I get this phone call from this individual that I've been praying for, and I'm thinking, man, I don't want to lose him, because every time I hang up, I don't hear from him again. So I was ministering to him on the phone while I'm riding a bike. And while I'm riding and on the phone, and I'm realizing I have to come up to this hill, and I got to turn right to come up to this hill to get home, this car pulls up next to me. And I realize that I'm thinking, well, I'm going to have to turn right to get up this hill. This car is on my right-hand side. I'm going to have to slow down. And when I slowed down, he slowed down. And when I went faster, he went faster. And I began to look, and the Holy Spirit says, "Looks like your enemy." And when I looked, everything was gray. His car was gray. He was gray. The cloud, the dust around him seemed gray. Everything was gray. And I'm still on the phone, and I'm about to tell this guy, "Yo," I wanted to knock on his window and say, "You mind moving over? Or get behind me, or go ahead, because I got to get some momentum to get up this hill." But I was on the phone. And I'm talking on the phone, I'm thinking, this guy's an idiot. He looks just like my enemy. And I'm cruising. So I'm realizing, okay, I'll let him just go up the hill. Well, he slows down. So I got to go all the way around him to try to get momentum to get up the hill. And he turns slowly up the hill. And as I'm getting down at the bottom of the hill, I'm really, man, I got to put more pressure on these pedals to get up this hill. So I begin to put more pressure. The phone slips. My chain slips. I go to grab my phone. My front tire turns, and I go instantly on the ground. Bam! Smashed my knee and flew in the air. And while I was flying in the air, all time stopped. And I was reminded, The angels bear you up. Least you dash your foot. Well, I dashed my knee, but I didn't dash my foot. But that was okay. Now, while I was in the air, the Holy Spirit said, "You remember, because when I was a kid, I took judo. Of course, I broke all those curses off. But the first thing they teach you in judo is how to land on your back, how to roll and fall." And so I was in the air, and all time stopped. I'm in the air, and the Lord says to me, "Remember how to land. Remember, as a child, you were taught in judo. So when you land, make sure you land perfectly, or you're going to break your back." I'm thinking, oh my God. So the next thing I know, somebody adjusted me in the air. And when I landed flat on my back hard, boom, breath left me, and I saw the word perfect. And I heard perfect. And I thought, oh my God, I broke my back. But then I thought, wait a minute, if I landed perfect, I couldn't have broken my back. And I realized that my back wasn't broken, but my knee was killing me. So this guy stops way up ahead. My daughter's screaming in the back. She's about 5 bike lengths behind me, 6 bike lengths. And she's screaming, and this guy stops, and he gets out, and he walks nonchalantly, very slow towards me, and he looks at me, "You all right?" If he was closer, just a little bit closer. So my daughter says, "The least you can do is give him a ride home." I thought, put me in the car with this guy? So I told him to leave. Fuck, killed him. So I stood up, and I was like, oh, man, my knee was killing me. My daughter's going, "Come on, Dad, don't let him drive." No, no, I can't be near that man right now. So I finally just got on the bike and rode whatever I could, got home, went in the house and packed my knee with ice. And the Lord began to reveal things and show me things. Sometimes as you're going through stuff, you don't realize it until you stop and review it. And it's like, it was amazing to me. And in that scripture, the angels bear you up. And he said to me, "All things are going to work to the good guy. There's a purpose. I have a multiple purpose. And remember, your mistakes are my problems." So there's I call them chiropractors that I go to. And he's a sweet man. He's a sweet man of God. And every time we get together, the Holy Spirit has... there's ministry involved. And so I began to think about, okay, Lord, what are you going to do with, what do you want me to do at this time since you make me lay down by still waters? And I count it all joy. So I go and see he's a sports doctor, and so I go see him the next day, and he says, "Yeah, I heard about what happened." He says, "I was wondering how God was going to arrange this." He says, "Because I know that we would be spending more time together." Thinking, man, the Lord must have spoke to him. He says, "Because I love when we get together and all the things, and you know, because I tell him some wild things." So in that, I want to share about these angels. The Bible says that when you become born again in the Spirit, that God dispatches a legion of angels that are working on your behalf. That means you got over 2,000 angels that's trying to rescue your butt, that's trying to get God's will in your place. But see, there's something that you and I must do, cooperate. Without cooperation, God's will cannot be manifested. So we have all of these ideas on how things ought to be done. But one of the prayers that David prayed, he said, "Lord, cause me to know your way. Cause me." In other words, shut the door that's not of you and open the door that is. And whatever is going on in my life, make it narrow. Make it so that nothing else can interfere. And when I begin to drift away, give me a slap. Show me what I need to do, so that I never drift, never displease you, and that I never allow the enemy to convince me that your love has left me. See, that's one of the ploys of the enemy. He always wants to breach God's love between us so that we look for love in another place, but it's not love, it's lust. See, when you haven't touched and tasted God's love, then you lust. There's a difference. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians 15? So it's been about 5 or 6 days now, but at least I'm moving, and I'm being healed every moment. And in the meantime, the Lord has been opening many doors of revelation and opportunities to declare truth. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 39, would you read it with me? "All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of a man and another of animals. and another of fish and another of birds. There are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of terrestrial is another. There is one glory of a sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. Now, this is powerful. Another star differs from another star in glory. In other words, a star is different. Now, in other words, he's talking about not only the stars of heaven that light, but there are also stars that are called angels. Go to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. In verse 1. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars, and he calls them all by what? He calls them all by what? So every star has a name. Does everybody get it? Every star has a name. And Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. I think it's the first time I sat down behind a pulpit. Seems kind of funny. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? I got to stand up. Too much reflections. In verse 1, would you read it with me? Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars, which are known as the constellations. Now, it says something very... It says that she was clothed with the sun. The sun, meaning the one that gives light, the one that gives light. It is the originator. In other words, God is the originator of the true light. And it says, and under her feet was the moon, right? The moon, a reflector of light. It's the lesser light. One's a greater light, one's a lesser light. And then it says, on the head was a garland of 12 stars. In other words, he's speaking about the heavenlies in the area where there's 12 constellations. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. And his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. He drew, okay, we know that the dragon is associated with Satan. And it says that his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven. In other words, a third of the angels followed the dragon and threw them to the what? Earth. In other words, the earth, the planet earth, its atmosphere in the earth, on the earth, and in the heavenlies. But in the spiritual arena. And it says that the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then a woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. And I truly believe remember, in the constellations, the 12 constellations is a picture. It's the area where God is speaking. So we see that the woman was clothed with the sun, right, which is the originator. The moon was the lesser light, the reflector. Under the feet was the moon, meaning authority. That's the greater light was more of the authority. The 12 constellations are star formations that have the message of Christ from the beginning to the end. The dragon's foundation is associated with the adversary, the devil who deceives. And he actually deceived a third of the angels, known as stars. So these were celestial beings, angels. They were cast into this realm, removed from the throne room of God, followed Lucifer, because Lucifer was in charge of a third of the angels. He had Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel, who was in charge of a third of the angels. And these celestial beings came into the arena of the earth, its atmosphere, the sea, and so forth. Is everybody okay? Now, these angels are spirit beings. They are celestial, of supernatural ability and strength. And every one of these angels is named by God, just like the stars are named by God. And there's a reason why we're talking about this. Now, I'm going to go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Hallelujah. Matthew 22 and 23. It says, the same day the Sadducees who were there, who say that there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, the third even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said to them, You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures. See, they knew scriptures, but they didn't understand them. That's why knowledge without understanding is not truth. Knowledge with understanding is truth. You can read this Bible, memorize the page numbers, and still be an idiot. Because it is the Spirit who brings truth. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't do nothing. You just stay religious. So in this, he says, I mean, this is just so powerful. And he says to them, Therefore you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither what? Marry. Nor are given in marriage, but are like what? Angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, you have not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So, and this is very powerful because he's saying, look at, angels don't, they don't have sex in their celestial beings. There's no marriage there. And he says, when you and I go and be home with the Lord, we're going to be the same way. So all of these religious idiots that are out there trying to tell you that they're going to have a bunch of virgins when they go home, they're going to have a bunch of whatever when they go home, but it ain't going to be the home we're going to. See, they still talk about the things of the flesh when we're talking about the things of the Spirit. Those who put their mind into the things of the Spirit have life. Those are the things of the flesh shall die. See, there's no such thing of all of this stuff. But there is truth in the area that even when you and I go home, we will be like angels. We'll be celestial. No more terrestrial. We'll be celestial. But in that, we're kind of like, when you are born again of the Spirit, you are part celestial. Now when we walk, when you are born of the Spirit, you already have eternal life started. So you are already an eternal being because the celestial body is already there. We're just waiting to shed the terrestrial body so our celestial body can walk. Amen? So everybody understand? So again, there is no marriage with the angels. And so there's something that they must do. They don't need to have offspring, do they? So there's no male and female. Believe me, there's no angels with breasts or genitals. Does everybody understand this? They got all these Cupids flying around and all these pictures of angels and female angels. And you know, none of that's true. An angel is neuter. They're eunuchs. No. There is no desire in sexual arena with angels. Does everybody understand that? Unless there's something that they do. If they put on flesh and they leave their abode, then the desires of man are imparted in them. Is everybody okay? Isaiah 14. Now, is Lucifer an angel? Yes. So in his celestial body, he did not have a desire, did he? For women or for sex or whatever. Hallelujah. In verse 12, would you read it with me? How you are fallen from heaven. How you are fallen from what? Heaven. O Lucifer, son of the morning. So we see here Lucifer, who was a celestial being, an angel, was removed from the throne room of God. Amen? And in being removed from the throne room of God, he was sentenced. In other words, earth was known as a place of restraining in its atmosphere. Restraining. There's an area of where they are restrained in this atmosphere and so forth. And in this realm, they may be restrained to certain planets or whatever it is, but this is an area of restraining in here. Why? What did I be in restraint for judgment? Why? Because Lucifer for what? Rebelled. So because rebellion always promotes a judgment or a wrath of God. So in there, Lucifer was sent here to the earth. How you have fallen, from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. In other words, he's talking about the angels of God. He will exalt himself above the highest angels of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. This was Lucifer. And of course, the Lord said, yet you shall be brought down to hell, the lowest depths of the pit. So we see here that light bearing is associated with the name of Lucifer. He was known as the morning star. Did you ever think where the word movie star came from? How about rock star? I want to be a star. In other words, I want to be someone. Because there's something that occurred that must be understood. In the book of Job 38, in verse 4, discussion between Job and the Lord, he said, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? Verse 7. When the what? Morning stars sang together, and all the what? Sons of God shouted for joy. Why? Because the sons of God are known as angels. All the stars were named after the Lord, and the angels are named after the stars. So everybody got this? Very important to understand. Go to Genesis 1. Oh, Genesis 3, I'm sorry. Genesis 3, chapter 1. Or Genesis 3, verse 1. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. I want you to understand that the word field here means world. He said the serpent was a cunning beast. First of all, serpent comes from the word serpentine, sephra, or seraphim, which means he was a celestial being before he was a serpent. When God created everything, he created the angels, he created time, he created the angels and the universe, and then he created Adam, then he created animals, and then he created Eve. And we're going to do a whole thing on this so that you can see the whole lineage, especially the bloodlines of Satan and what's going on now. So we see that even an animal was created before Eve. Does everybody understand that? So the celestial being, knowing what would happen, Lucifer, who was able to transform into other, because remember, these celestial beings were supernatural, with supernatural abilities. In fact, the Bible tells us you never know who you're going to entertain. Amen? Because they can take form, can't they? And they can take form of anything. So the serpent was associated with Lucifer, or now what we call Satan. In fact, it's known as adversary. People think that Satan is one person. The word Satan means adversary. Lucifer was one person. But Satan's kingdom now, because when that serpent came out of me, the Lord said, I said, the Lord, what do I do? And he said, and all of a sudden out of my mouth, said, from the love of God, I curse you, Satan. Well, that was my adversary. That's your adversary. The word devil means adversary. Satan is adversary. Those are our adversaries. So in this, these, when a celestial puts on flesh without God's permission, it's known as a beast. Everyone say beast. That's why he said, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. He didn't say of the earth. Does everybody got it? If he meant an animal, it has said of the earth, but he's saying of the field, meaning of the world. So in this, he says, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Of course, we know that he was lying, wasn't he? Because he deceived Eve, didn't he? Because he said, you can eat of all the trees of the garden. Now, I'm not going to go into all of this in depth here, because there's much more meaning to this. So I want you to understand that when a celestial, without God's permission, being angel, comes in and puts on flesh of any sort, whether it be an animal or human, It is known as a beast. So everybody got it? Is everybody okay? Good. Go to 2 Peter. Now, beasts of the field, beasts of the world, angels in the flesh are called beasts. Their children are called Nephilim. And when their children die, they're called demons because their spirits still roam the earth. In 2 Peter chapter 4. Listen, everybody in this room knows that something's going on, don't they? What did I say? 2 Peter. I don't even have a chapter here. Praise be to God. I got to go to 2 Peter, verse 14. It's chapter 2, I believe. Yeah, chapter 2. 2 Peter 2, yeah, and verse 4. Everyone in this room knows that, at least I hope you know, there's something going on. There's something going on in the world. There's things that are happening. Things that we don't, in one aspect, people don't want to know. They just want to, it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. But yet, the whole world is on edge. Everyone is on edge. The world is in fear, not knowing what is next. This whole country is divided, not knowing what's next. Not knowing whether we're being lied to or we're being told the truth. It's coming right now that we're realizing that we've been lied to so much that you can't believe anyone, especially in a political arena. That they're always having an agenda. Even the word tells us that the Antichrist spirit in the last days will start to change laws and seasons. We're seeing things change here where even our Constitution is ignored because something has occurred, something is happening, and something very large is about to happen. Does everybody understand that? Something very large is about to happen. And if you don't know what it is and then you are not in position, you'll be wiped out right with it. You'll be along with all those who fear and don't know Christ and they have no strength in the power of God. You'll be trying to save your nickels and your dimes to think it's going to save you. Your properties, your cars, and your business when it's going to be taken anyways. You know, it always reminds me of the movie Schindler's List. And if you've never seen it, please watch it. Here was a man with great wealth. Went to Germany to do business. Began to see all the death. Partied consistently. Spent his life and money and all kinds of things. Fornicated and everything else. But he began to see the mistreatment of humans began to affect him. Started a business just to get them bought. The business was not producing anything. He was losing money constantly. He didn't care anymore. His whole concern was being able to save souls. And at the end of the movie, when the war was over and the Jews gathered together and began to take all their gold out of their mouth to give him a ring. And when they presented him with this because they were so grateful, he began to weep and cry bitterly. And he began to reflect. He kept saying, "My God, I could have bought one more soul with that bottle of booze I drank, with that car I bought, with the money I wasted here, with the building I bought here, what I did this. I could have bought one more soul. One more soul." And I want you to know we're there now. We're there. Our focus must be in expanding the kingdom of God and rescuing as many souls as can be because damnation is around the corner and so is heaven. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it said, "For God did not spare the what? The angels who sinned, but cast them down to where? Hell, known as Hades or Tartarus. It's a place of holding. It's a place of holding, like a holding cell before judgment. And deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for what? Judgment. And did not spare the ancient world." Now, I want you to understand something about the ancient world. And we'll talk about it. "But save Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." In other words, seeing the the homosexuality, the lesbian, and the perversion. Even when the angels showed up of God, see, the angels of God showed up in the flesh to come and rescue Lot. Even all of them, they wanted their bodies for sex. In verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of the temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Where angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a violent accusation against them before the Lord. Look at this, verse 12. But these, like natural brute, what? Beasts. Now, what do we say beasts were? Angels that what? Put on flesh. These are demonic. These are of the third of the angels, where there are certain angels of Satan's kingdom that put on flesh. Made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. They cannot cease from sin. Enticing unstable souls or gullible people who are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. In other words, there is no redemption for them. Brute beasts in Revelation chapter 1. Is everybody okay? You came here to hear the truth, right? In verse 20, it says, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are what? The angels. I wanted to confirm this over and over that you know what the Lord is talking about, that you understand what he's talking about. These are the seven angels, there's the seven churches, and the seven lampstands, which you saw, the seven churches. In other words, God was sending out information by these angels. Amen? But then there's the ones that are called fallen angels. Or rebellious angels. There are those who put on flesh and went into women and produce offspring. And then you still have the rest of the angels of Satan's kingdom that are called principalities and powers of darkness. They are ruler over nations and cities. Did you ever notice that a certain area, there are territorial spirits, certain areas on the city, and so there's poverty in an area. There's addiction in the area. There's perversion in the area. There's prostitution in the areas. There's the wealthy. And in some of these areas, it's nothing but occults behind their closed doors. Because these principalities and territorial spirits rule these areas. Demons are controlled under them. Demons are disembodied spirits that need a body. In Revelation 9. Is everybody okay? We won't lock the door. You can, you know. Verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from where? To the earth. To him was given the key to the what? Bottomless pit. Now, wait a minute. Now, was this an angel? He said he saw a star fall from heaven. Was it an angel? Yes. So everybody got it. And he was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And it says, and out of the smoke, locusts upon the earth. And then was given power as the scorpions of the earth and have power. These are called hybrids. We're not going to get into all that today. They were not given authority to kill them all, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like a torment of a scorpion which strikes a man. In verse 11. And they had a what? A king, a ruler over them. Over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek, his name is Apollyon. In other words, he was also a fallen angel. Is everybody okay? In other words, these angels, according to the names, are associated with stars, aren't they? Amen? Go to the book of Jude. So God named all the angels after all the stars. The book of Jude. It's a book right before Revelation. Is everybody there? In verse 10, it says, but these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. Oh, what's a beast again? An angel that's put on, a fallen angel that's put on flesh. In these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit, and perish in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about with the winds, by winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up in their own shame, wandering what? They're what? Wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of the darkness forever. Has everybody got this? Amen? Wandering stars. In other words, angels that have what? Wandered. Fallen out of the abode of Christ, aren't they? Is everybody okay? Let's go a little further. In Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6. Is everybody there? Now this is vitally important because we're getting to close to the conclusion of what's going on here. In Genesis 6, it says in verse 1, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to the men, that the sons of God, which are angels, these are fallen angels of Satan's kingdom, saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. So they put on flesh. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his ways shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. In other words, there was a period of time where there was already giants. Why? Because when a celestial being puts on flesh and goes into a terrestrial being, it produces a hybrid offspring. And I'm not going to get into all of this stuff, but I'm going to just make it real simple. Lucifer, who became Satan, who was now the serpent, produced offsprings with Eve. That's where Cain and Abel came from. Because the first offsprings that was from Adam is known as Seth. And it's all biblically based. So when these offsprings were produced, they became giants. Why? Because remember we talked about these angels were supernatural, weren't they? They had power. They had supernatural abilities and talents. And they produced giants. So now we've got Cain and Abel. Abel is killed. Cain begins to have children, right? And his children were now producing hybrids. They were known as Nephilims. Now all the rest of the angels, after they saw what their leader did, around 200 of them, put on flesh and came into the natural realm and produced offsprings with Cain's children. They began to take wives. And it began to get more and more. And it says in verse 4, and there were giants on the earth in those days. That was before they put on flesh and came in. Why? Because of the offsprings of the serpent and Eve. And also afterward, when the sons of God came in, the daughters of men, and bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. In other words, these were individuals that began to name themselves after the stars. Listen, God shares with us not to worship these things. Amen? I want you to go to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Very important. Deuteronomy 4, verse 15. Now the Lord began to put something into effect, laws, and began to warn them. Why? Because they began to worship these Nephilims. Because they began to call themselves gods and goddesses. They were naming themselves after the stars, Zeus, Aphrodite, all of these gods and goddesses. Why? Because they were known of men of renown. There was also giants. Those were called titans, what we call titans. In fact, if you look up the mythological Greek, you'll see that Tartarus was the place where Zeus sent the titans to restrain them. Tartarus is known, what we just read, it was called Hades. Actually, Hades is the name of an angel also. And the Lord said, look, we got to put this into effect now because we've had too much problem. That's why David, when God told David to go out and kill the whole families and the children and so forth, because they made it through the flood. That's why God destroyed the whole earth with the flood. Because of these offsprings, the Nephilims, they were destroying all of mankind. The only DNA, pure DNA of human, pure DNA that was left was Noah and his sons and some of the daughters of Seth. But one of them married an offspring, a hybrid, Ham. That's why Ham's lineage, that Ham began to worship other gods, and they began to intermarry, and they began to produce offsprings again. Giants became back again. That's where Goliath and David came into effect. That's where the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the any kind of height and hit you want. Verse 14 or 15, Deuteronomy 4:15. Would you read it with me? Take careful heed to yourselves. For you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Lest you act corruptly and make yourselves what? Carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of an animal that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the hosts of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole earth as a heritage. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace of Egypt to be people and an inheritance as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes and swore that I would not cross over the Jordan. Now, this is Moses telling them. And that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan, but you shall cross over and possess the land. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make yourselves carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire and a jealous God. Worship of hosts of heaven. Look at their ways represent areas of the ancient world. There were gods and goddesses, titans, giants. Some of them were half beast, half human. Because of the genetic change of the intercourse that they produced, they intermarried. They had massive structures. They had pictorial information that was carved in stones of their events, their histories, and their technology. They were getting people. One of the things that the enemy wants to do is get people to believe it's sci-fi so they won't believe what's happening. The Bible says that the serpent, Lucifer, was the most cunning, but he was given the most wisdom. Think about the pyramids. Were they not huge? You know, most people think that the pyramids were made by the Egyptians. These are just part of the large structures. One of the blocks was 50 tons. They tried to calculate it. Think about this. When the pyramids were being made, they didn't even invent the wheel yet. And as they continued to make pyramids, there's not just two or three. There's hundreds of them all over the earth. They're associated with a demonic form. Inside the pyramids, each chamber represents and points right to a specific star. Now they're finding that there's caves and tunnels and all kinds of things under the pyramids. You know, when they went into these pyramids and some of these caves, they saw all of these writings and they saw giants enslaving people. Those were the titans, the giants. Those were real. I don't know if you heard about this or not, but they found some technology that was on there and a picture of a power source. And they duplicated what was on the drawing, and they hooked it up, and it became a light bulb. You're going to tell me they had light bulbs in those days? Where did that technology come from? They're not aliens. An alien is nothing but demons, fallen angels that are working on Satan's behalf because they want people to believe that there are life sources from other planets. They're nothing but demons. They're aliens. Yes, there are UFOs. They have technology. They're able to transport. They're able to transport themselves interdimensional. They're able to make themselves look human now in the area of genetic structure. They are among us. They're in our government. Things don't turn around the way they have turned around the way they are. They are rulers and leaders. It is happening. We're in it. And God has sent you into this earth at this time to be able to combat these things and expose them and rescue as many souls as possible. If Jesus Christ is truly your Lord and Savior, then you don't have a life. Your life is His. Amen? In Revelation 12. Aren't you glad you came today? Glory. How many of y'all want to know the truth? You don't want to stay stupid and deceived, do you? You don't want the world to push you around by demonic forces and influence you with deception. We want to know the truth to overcome. Amen? In the book of Revelation in chapter 12, in verse 7, it says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer." This is going to manifest in tribulation. "So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." In other words, they will be removed from the spiritual realm where you didn't see them anymore, but you will. Every demon, every fallen angel will become manifested in the physical realm. Why? Because God will place judgment on them. See, the book of Revelation is a revealing of Jesus. "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and the strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them in front of our God day and night has been cast down," cast out of the spiritual, cast out of the unseen into the seen. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth," in other words, he realized this was not his choice because he'd been in the unseen realm for so long. All of a sudden he realized, man, I'm in the natural. People are able to see me now. "When he realized he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child." That's Israel. "But the woman was given two wings of an eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half from the presence of the serpent." And I really believe that this is associated with the rapture. The two wings are associated with Moses and Elijah. Because when you and I, the Bible tells us something very powerful. Go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Oh, you're getting a lot today. Oh, hallelujah. "And only the true believers, the body of Christ, is what restrains them." So your presence, the presence of God in us, is restraining, holding back evil from fulfilling its full-blow war. But we will be removed. It's called the rapture. And when we are removed, there will be an exchange. Satan will put on flesh. He'll come into this realm and all of his sources and angels and demons and hybrids and half-humans and half-beasts, they'll be manifested. But God will utilize that to bring judgment on them in tribulation. He will use them to bring judgment, then he'll bring judgment on them. Is everybody okay? In verse 8, "Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe in the lie because they chose to take the mark, that they all might be condemned who do not believe." The word believe means what? Follow. So he said they're going to be condemned who don't follow the truth, "but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to go to the book of Daniel, and that will be the last verse, and then I just want to share something very quickly. The book of Daniel, chapter 12. The book of Daniel, chapter 12. In verse 1, it says, "And at that time, Michael the archangel shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time." In other words, a time of trouble. The Holocaust was 7 years. Tribulation will be 7 years. Israel had to become a nation first in 1948. All of these are falling into place. We are the generation of the return of the Lord. No doubt about it. "And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall be awakened, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the what? Stars forever and ever." You want to be your star? Then you turn them to righteousness. You lead them to the truth. You be willing to die to declare the truth no matter what. "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge, technology will increase." Of course it has to. Amen? And knowledge will increase. Listen, one of the things that came to me this morning in the area of, especially the goddesses and gods and so forth. Listen, they want you to believe that all of this is just mythical and sci-fi, when it actually was happening and called the ancient world. It was happening. Now we are a time right now. In fact, think about, the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, right? But he said, but don't utilize this freedom to promote your flesh. Amen? We have a country here with a Statue of Liberty representing freedom. But in true reality, that statue is demonic. It actually represents a goddess. In fact, if you look at it, you don't know if it's a guy or a girl. Its original name was Liberty Enlightening the World. It was associated with intellectualness, where intellectual enlightening would blind people, intellectual blindness, so people would be so intellectually blinded that they would not receive the truth. It's called the Enlightened Ones. People have heard of the Illuminati and stuff. All of that is nothing but Satan's kingdom. There's a mirror image of the same statue that we have in France. France blessed us with this. And there are hundreds all around the world. Egypt, first of all, rejected it. That's why one came here, because they have their own. It was built by Masons, designed by Masons, and dedicated by the Masons ceremony, which is associated with the Illuminati. Illuminati mean Enlightened Ones. The Enlightened Ones were known as the Fallen Angels. Does everybody understand? They had a title for the Statue of Liberty called Colossus. It was a Greek sun god called Helios. Known as, it's got sun rays on its head as a crown, doesn't it? Holds up a torch. It's associated with the all-seeing eye. It was a gift from the bloodline of Satan's France. We have another. This is just one of the things. Why? Because the United States is being turned over to spiritual Babylon. It will be the main headquarters. It has been the number one country in the world, the blessed country in the world, but it will be turned over. It's happening. There's no point of return, you know. There's no turning back now. This is it. I'm not here to preach doom and gloom. Because there's only one way out, and that's through Christ and your relationship with the Lord. He will provide everything you need. He will protect you. He will hide you. And he will take you home when it's necessary. And the rest of the world will be in torment and despair. The U.S., Statue of Liberty, do what thou feel like. That's Satan's doctrine. Think about the other statue associated with Mystery Babylon. It is known as the Harlot. That's what the statue represents. It is known as the Harlot of Babylon. Why? Because it causes individuals to drink their deception. Look at the U.S. dollar. What is on the dollar? Another demonic arena. The pyramid with the all-seeing eye. What does it say on it? In God we trust, but they're not talking about Jesus. They're talking about Lucifer, the all-seeing eye. And it says, one world order on your money. That's pretty wild, huh? Look at our seal, the United States. It is the secret seal, the sunbird. It has 13 stars representing the 13 bloodlines of Satan. It is known as the Egyptian sunbird. We have obelisks, Washington in the mall, and all kinds of things that are demonic. Listen, why do you think other countries look at our country and call us the great Satan? Think about that. When we look at it, why are they crazy? Why could we? We're not evil. This country's been turned over. They're taking away the gold. They're taking away the guns. They're taking away everything they can. They're taking away your choice of what doctor you want to go to. They're taking away everything to fulfill their one world order. It is happening before your eyes. Do not ignore it. Don't ignore it. Don't pretend it. Don't hope for them. And don't put your trust in them. Your trust must be in the Lord. Everything that you begin to see shortly, they're going to try to get you to believe it's sci-fi. But I can tell you, it's real and true. The tensions in this country are phenomenal. Businesses are collapsing. We're being lied to every day. Jobs are not increasing and the economy is not getting better. They rule it all. They rule the stock market. They rule the economy. They rule the education. And they're not trying to promote a one world religion, which everyone is unified already except for the evangelical Christian. We're the only ones that are not coming aboard. So don't go aboard. When everything starts hitting the fan, don't take the mark because you're already sealed. Why exchange your seal for the mark of the beast? Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. We are honored and blessed. And we ask, Lord, that the seed be imparted to each and every one in preparation for the things to come. That you'll revive us in every area. And the revelation and knowledge of your word and the truth of your word, Lord. That you'll fill each and every one here with your spirit. And that you'll open eyes, ears, and hearts. That you'll convict. That you'll correct. And that you'll change us more and more into your image and likeness, that the world may see you and not a dying star. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.